Hello. Welcome, everyone. Thank you again for joining me this week. It's good to see many of you are back. It seems like there's not as many here this evening as there normally are, but maybe there's a lot going on this last weekend. Oh, yeah, some people are still traveling from the retreat. I thought we'd just take a moment just to settle in. To connect with the silence which is here. The radiance which is here. To connect with your presence. And so we're feeling, we are acknowledging, we are giving ourselves permission to be here now, to let go into this eternal now. And to notice, what is the now like? Many of us, when we think of the now, we just look at what we're doing. And so I invite you to stop the doing. And to give yourself permission to fall backwards into your presence. To fall backwards into your presence. And so our presence is that which is deeper. Deeper than the contents of your mind and the contents of your emotional nature. It's a willingness to step into your nature, to step into it fully. Give yourself permission to reconnect with your own divine self, to be flooded by your light. And the light of your heart, the light of your presence. To give yourself permission to fall into the depth of silence. Which is here this evening. And even if you're in a room that has, you know, little bits of noise arising here and there. Even if you hear the sound of my voice, if there's traffic going on outside or in the background, I invite you to notice the silence which is here. Which is here. The silence in which all thoughts arise, all sounds arise, all emotions arise. I invite you to step into this peace. And be here now, be fully here in this, to let go into this, to give yourself permission to finally let go of everything, everything, to let go of everything. Yes, be here now. Notice what it's like to be here. What is it like to be in the fullness of your presence? And by fullness, I invite you to open, to acknowledge all the different chakra centers, to open all the chakra centers, each of them. So we can start at the base of the spine. And just feel the quiet presence at the base of your spine. A quiet and very subtle radiance. Oftentimes, there's unconscious tension here at the base of the spine. And so I invite you just to allow that to relax. And to feel the quiet radiance. And many people have never paid attention to the first chakra. This is the seat of Kundalini energy. And it's a very quiet home. It's a silent home. Very pristine and humble. And so I invite you just to notice this humility and silence in the first chakra center. And then we can include the second chakra center. A sense of opening and including, just noticing. What does it feel like in the second chakra center? Is there clenching there too? Is there tension there? The second chakra center is a couple inches below the belly button and inward. Is there clenching there? Is there tension there? Is there a sense of being disconnected from life? Or is there a sense of openness and power? A sense of depth? Yes, a sense of release and gratitude. Beautiful. Beautiful. Sometimes when we just simply pay attention to each of the chakra centers, we might discover some places where we're clenching, where there's tension. And oftentimes it's unconscious. Sometimes we hold tension that's a day. It's a day old. It's from yesterday. And somebody said something to us, and we're still reeling in that center. Sometimes the tension is a year old, or 5 years, or 10 years. And when we go inward, we pay attention to these centers. We invite whatever wants to come forward to come forward. And so we're opening, including the first center, the second center, and even feel into the third chakra center, the solar plexus. Noticing if there's any heat there, tension of any sort, and again, relaxing there, letting go. Giving ourselves permission to experience the truth of each of these centers. So the quiet depth in the first chakra, perhaps a deep sense of power, the second chakra being rooted. And with the third chakra center, Oftentimes, this is a place where we can set a powerful intention, this question of what is my life about? Is my life about the expansion of truth and love and happiness and joy on this planet? Or is this life just about me? So we're inviting this intention to open. We give ourselves to the movement of light and love. We give ourselves to a greater experience of vastness and divinity. And yes, Lynn, I see your question. But can you ask that another way? Not exactly sure I understand. And so we're feeling to all these centers here. And we're noticing, yes, all the places which we feel tense, where we feel tight, where we are resisting life. And so this is the work of the spiritual path, is to release that which is tense, which is tight. We release old habits of mind, old habits of emotion. We release them through this doorway of trust. We're opening ourselves to that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful. Within our very nature and in the very space of divinity, of God herself. And so one of the easiest ways to release is taking deep, full breaths into the very aspects of our cellular memory, our cellular body, our physical body. For our physical body, it's all wired. It's this field that's completely connected. And when we take deep, full breaths, the field relaxes and it opens. And so if we pay attention to the spaciousness of the room, the bigness of the sky, the quietness of this evening, and give ourselves permission to merge into this space. We merge into the space of freedom. And so very much as we're sitting here this evening and we're noticing our body, so we're becoming aware of it. Sometimes if we have a very tense body or if we have a busy mind, if we've experienced a lot of trauma in the past, our mind just plays these loops over and over again. We tend to have the same beliefs over and over again. Like the world is a scary and dangerous place, nobody loves me. I can't be happy now until the world changes. If I had more money, then I could relax. My husband or wife is driving me crazy, and I can't relax. I can't be free because they're always disturbing my peace. And so if we identify with any of these thoughts, yeah, it's true, we'll never be free. And we will reinforce this message in our body, literally in our physical nervous system. This message that the world is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. I heard this really, really funny story. I was at the Science and Non-Duality conference in California this last week. And one of the speakers was telling a very interesting story. She was doing this study on, it was on thoughts and on dying. You know, the kind of, you know, what kind of death do we want to have? A very frightening topic for a lot of people. A lot of us, we don't even think about this idea of death. But the speaker said this very interesting thing. She was telling the story of a priest, you know, in a Catholic hospital. And the nurse said, you know, Father, your patient is in room 8. And, you know, he needs his last rites read. So the priest walked into room 10 and, you know, did the ceremony, the last rites, I believe that's what it's called. You could correct me. I should know this if I'm a Catholic. But, you know, the priest comes in before you die. And so the man sitting in the bed, you know, listened to the priest. And within 15 minutes, the man had died. You know, he heard what the priest was saying. You know, you want to let go into God. You want to forgive others. You want to... And to be deeply connected with God before you move on to the next realm. And so, the man did what he said and went on, you know, walked through the doorway of death. But then it came to the attention of the nurse that the priest went into the wrong room. The wrong fella. The wrong fella had passed on. He didn't have a terminal illness, but when the priest came, he said, okay, this must be my time, and he let go. into the doorway of death. So the nurse had to, you know, call the priest back and he'd ask him to do it again for room 8, the correct room. And it's interesting too because you know, the person in room 8, you know, the priest read them the last rites and they took 2 days to die. And they were the one with the terminal illness. And so the thing about being free, freedom has a lot to do with not believing our thoughts, of stepping into reality right here and right now. When we believe thoughts, which I just simply call unhelpful thoughts, you know, if we believe a thought which is unhelpful, we will suffer. We will suffer. You know, this thought that the person, that the patient in whatever it was, room 10, was believing was, you know, I guess this is my time, and the priest is here, and so I'll be on my way. And so it's important which thoughts do we believe. If we believe thoughts which are unhelpful, They can have great consequences for us. They can create a whole world of suffering in our body. And so one of the great ways of releasing ourselves from suffering is through deep full belly breaths. When we take deep full belly breaths, our body relaxes and it naturally releases pain and suffering from our form. Yet many individuals do what's called re-traumatizing themselves. They re-traumatize themselves because even though if they may go to a yoga class or come to a satsang, they listen to what the teacher says, they give themselves permission to open and to relax. But they leave satsang, they leave the yoga class. And they continue believing the thoughts that they were believing on their way in the door. If we believe these habitual thoughts again and again and again, well, we may learn to relax for an hour, but then we pick up the thoughts again and re-traumatize ourselves, and the world of suffering continues. And so, you know, a lot of things that many great teachers have said. It's just a simple teaching called don't believe your thoughts. Don't listen to the commentary in your head. If you want to be free, you pay very, very little attention to the mind. By the mind, I mean that stream of thoughts that is bouncing from one thing to the next. And you pay full attention to the space in which the thoughts arise. So this question of how do I be free? In order to be free, you must pay attention to the spaciousness of your nature. The spaciousness of your mind, the spaciousness of your body, the spaciousness which is in each of the seven chakra centers, the lightness and the beauty and the radiance of your own heart. This is what we pay attention to. And it's not that we ignore our mind or ignore our emotions, because that would not be a compassionate response to our humanity. But we get rooted in our divinity. We step in and let go fully into that which we are. And so again, if any of us feels into each of the seven chakra centers right now, let's say, for example, the heart. If you just casually feel into the space of your heart in a very shallow way, you may notice some heavy emotions, some anxiety, a feeling of mundaneness or deadness if we're not connected to the heart. Some of us feel overrun by fear and anxiety. But if we give ourselves permission to breathe deeply without believing the thought. You know, oftentimes if we have a heavy emotion in our heart, the thought that comes with that heavy emotion is something like, I don't want to feel this, I want this to end. But rather, if we choose to do something differently, if we choose to be with that emotion, to breathe into it for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and continue looking for our true spiritual heart. If we look within and truly look, deeply look, sincerely look, for inner peace, for inner brilliance, for the space of compassion. We will find these things. But it requires that we are sincere, that we are patient, that we are living from a deeper place than simply the fight or flight response. And by the fight or flight response, I mean that ongoing egoic response, which most humans are afflicted with. They're afflicted with this sense of, I don't want to feel this. This hurts. I don't like my life. I don't like this or that. This person cut me off in traffic, so I need to run away or fight with them. Whatever it is, it's the willingness to step beyond that programming and step into the hugeness of your being. In order to step into the hugeness of your being, you must place your attention on that which is good, that which is holy, that which is radiant. Not many people use this term holy anymore. But many years ago, when I was with my teacher, David, he used to say this to me often. He said, Craig, place your attention on that which is holy. And I would imagine myself in a big cathedral, kneeling before a statue of Jesus or Mary. And have this deep sense of reverence to be connected in this way. And for many people, we experience holiness when we are at church. But then I found oftentimes that's not what he was speaking about. I was transporting myself to something, to some mysterious fantasy land, some holy fantasy land. Holy fantasy land that I was creating in my mind. What he was really meaning is find that which is holy within you, Craig. And so many people use mindfulness just to notice all the thoughts in their head and all the feelings in their body, the uncomfortable feelings. But if we want to be free, we use mindfulness to notice that which is good and pure and holy about us. Too often times we think to be holy means we have to be a living saint. But we must remember, God made us in her image and likeness. His image and likeness. If God is holy, so are we. If we are one with God, so are we. If we are one with Christ, so are we. And so it's the willingness to sit patiently with your form, with your humanity. And not only to acknowledge the pain and suffering you're going through, but also to acknowledge that which is beautiful, that which is good, that which is pure. And that's all about feeling and experiencing. If any of us spend enough time opening into the space of the heart, while simultaneously loving and embracing anything which is begging for our attention, and we will open into the land of the free. And so one of the things that I find helpful is, yes, of course, not believing our thoughts. but also trusting that if I put my ego down, I will actually be okay. Because that's what's required. To step into the land of the free. We have to be willing to trust that we'll be okay if we put our ego down. Now, I was in California. California is a little different than Colorado. Where I was at in California, after I went to the Science and Non-Duality Conference, I went over to Santa Cruz, which is about an hour away from where the conference was. And so Santa Cruz is, you know, I'd like to call it a little beach town, but I think it's a very big, populated beach town. I live in a little mountain town, so anything outside of my town seems just really big. But it was big, and there's lots of people there, and there's a lot of wild people there, you know, I'll even say crazy people there. And so when you get a lot of people together, there's naturally going to be a lot of ego. And I don't even mean like, you know, people puffing up and being full of themselves. More, when there's a lot of people around, there's just more things that can happen. More drama, more confusion, more, you know, sometimes you have to fight to find a parking spot in California. But anyways, one of the things that I noticed was sometimes, you know, I'll go up and I'll just talk to someone in the street just because that's my nature. I tend to be a friendly, open-hearted kind of individual. And you know, I find it easy to speak with anyone on the street. And where I live in Colorado, most people will just, you know, talk back and they'll be nice and they'll smile and they, you know, they won't have, you know, their guard up like you're going to rob them or something, you know. But where I was at in California, you know, I went out to dinner and there were some people talking at the table next to me. And, you know, I did this thing where I opened my mouth and just, you know, I kind of overheard a little bit of their conversation because they were talking really loud. And I joined in their conversation for, you know, for a moment. But then I realized, you know, as I, you know, kind of leaned over and started speaking to them, they got really nervous, very uptight. And it was funny. Funny for me, not for them. But, you know, they looked at me like I was like I was a shady character or something, or like, you know, like, and they were like highly nervous that, you know, some weirdo was speaking to them. And I noticed, oh, you know, this person's really in their ego. You know, I was in a place where I was welcoming, a sense of community, welcoming some conversation. Just, I was out, you know, at dinner, and I was just enjoying seeing all the people, all the beautiful human beings, you know, out on the town. But this woman, she was, you know, she got highly nervous. And she even started to attack me and insult me. And I, you know, to which I didn't know how to respond because, you know, she was talking loudly and I thought I'd just join her in her conversation. So I quickly brought my attention back to my table. I took a deep breath and just had some compassion for her. Compassion for her struggle. Because she wasn't seeing clearly. She wasn't seeing that there was just someone who wanted to talk to her. That just wanted to share this experience called life with her. And who knows what had happened, you know, maybe she had come from a place of where people were really intense or people tried to get her or take advantage of her or whatever it was, you know, I don't know, it wasn't really my business. Who knows what it was? But when we have something traumatic happen to us, oftentimes our ego, it just gets stuck in this feeling the world is unsafe. And it projects this message, this vision of the world as dangerous, as absolutely dangerous. And so it puts a wall between you and life. But to live in reality, we have to be willing to live without walls. Without walls. We have to be willing to be like Christ and be open-hearted and seeing clearly. We have to be willing to see clearly. And the purpose of the ego is to protect us from danger. But if we're out at dinner and someone just is speaking to us from another table, that's not really a dangerous situation. There's no need for ego in a situation like that. And so we can allow the ego to relax and to fall away. We can allow ourselves permission to relax and let the ego fall away. And so this is the ongoing invitation. If we want to be awake, if we want to live in the truth, one of the great things we need to do is learn how to relax. Really learn how to relax. Really learn how to let go. And this is very much a bodily thing, where we pay attention to our nervous system and notice, where am I uptight? Where am I struggling? Where am I fighting with life? Where am I holding on to something that happened yesterday or 20 years ago? And we need to breathe a sense of peace into that place. And welcome ourselves into the present moment and to see there is nothing here, nothing I need to be afraid of, nothing I need to struggle with, nothing I need to fight with. Sometimes I'll invite a student, open your eyes, see there's no struggle here, see there's no problem here. Look around and see the world is good, the world is safe. Notice that all of life is arising within the space of freedom. All of life. Even great suffering is happening in the space of freedom. And so the question is well, where do we have our attention? Do we have it on the hugeness of our consciousness? Or do we have our attention on the pettiness of our consciousness? The fight or flight conditioned part of our consciousness. Where do we place our attention? I can remember I was watching the news last year around Christmas time. There was a tremendous amount of snow that had fallen on the United States. And my mother was actually staying with me, you know, for celebrating Christmas. And, you know, after Christmas, it was time for her to go fly away. And so I took her to the airport. I said, hey, Mom, have a good flight. And she stayed in the airport for a whole day because her flight got canceled. But she didn't complain at all. You know, she just came back home and got up the next day and tried it. Tried again. I took her to the airport in the morning at 7 a.m. when they told her flight was. And then no plane the second day. And she made friends in the airport. She smiled and had a good old time. And I can remember I was actually sitting at home and my mother was stuck at the airport waiting for her plane to take off on the second day. And I turned on the news and there was this lady on the news. And she was at the Chicago O'Hare Airport and she was stuck at the airport there too. And she had the look of just absolute terror, absolute panic in her body. She was almost in tears. I think she would have broke down and cried. She was too furious. Basically, she was telling the news reporter, this is an absolute nightmare, a complete and utter nightmare. I thought, well, is this true? Is this really a nightmare? Or did it just snow and we're in the airport? I'm like, what's actually happening? So to live in the space of freedom, we have to look at what is actually happening. And so to see, to experience what is actually happening, we must be willing to step into the space of awareness, to step into the space of clarity and see what's happening. It's snowing and there's no airplane right now. And maybe you find yourself hungry and stuck at the airport. Well, I imagine there's food there. Not many of us here, at least in this country, are starving. So it's the willingness to step into the space of truth. Step into the space of truth. I think Gandhi spent about 8 years of his life in prison. And for much of those 8 years, he loved it. He said he had a great time. He said, I can do this. I can sit and be silent in prison because he was connected with reality. He was connected with the silence. He was connected with the spaciousness. He was connected with the hugeness of his heart. So this is the reality I'm speaking of. So whether we are in prison or stuck in an airport, sense of, I get the feeling oftentimes of being like stuck in a human body. How silly it is to be stuck in a human body. But if you really feel into your consciousness, you notice your consciousness expands much further than your human body. So we are not really stuck in this form. We're not really stuck in this form. Now, for many of us who have really heavy thoughts, who have terribly conflicted emotions, it feels as if we're stuck here. Stuck in this form. You know, I was thinking about my teacher, Adya. He's such a popular teacher. So many individuals love him. We had this funny interaction as I was over in Los Gatos in California there at his home, and he was going to teach at the conference, and he asked Rick Archer and I if we would be almost like his bodyguard, his bouncer, to get him in and out of the conference. Because so many, a couple of years ago he gave a talk and afterwards at the conference, and afterwards, so many people came up to him and wanted to speak with him. And normally he comes in the back door and leaves through the back door, but he came in the front door and had to leave through the front door. And so there was about a line of like 85 people that just wanted to to talk to Ajay and share their story with him and ask him questions. And so he was literally being drowned by his students last year at the conference. And he said, "Hey, can you guys help me get in and out of there, so that he can get home at a reasonable hour?" And so we said, yeah, sure. And I was really reflecting on it. What is it that everyone loves so much about Ajahn? Why is it that so many people want to speak with him? And as I was sitting in his presence, one of the things I noticed is he's so happily himself. He's fully himself. He doesn't feel trapped in his body. He doesn't fight against life. He's completely relaxed in his humanity. It's such a beautifully attractive quality. It's one of the qualities of a great saint, a great master. They fully love themselves, they know themselves, and they're totally relaxed within themselves. Completely and totally relaxed. And so when I was at Ajay's house, I was just noticing it. Just felt as if I was sitting with my best friend. I felt completely welcomed, completely at peace in his presence. There was no need to be anyone different than myself. I didn't have to be a spiritual teacher around him. I didn't have to be this or that. I could just be myself. And he didn't have to be a spiritual teacher around me. It was just two of us just enjoying each other's presence. My friend Rick Archer was there, and Michael Rodriguez, another spiritual teacher, was there. And we laughed and joked. And there was just this sense of how wonderful it is to be human. And so this question of how do I release and be free? Can we release ourselves from our agendas? Can we release ourselves from our masks that we wear? And when I was at this conference, and there was probably 150 other spiritual teachers there, and I noticed that many of them worked very hard to uphold this image, this identity of being a spiritual teacher. And I thought, boy, that looked like a lot of work. Had to have their scarf a certain way, the beads a certain way, the right dress. They speak in that very soft and gentle spiritual voice. It was quite funny. Behaving a certain way. But at some point when we are really awake, we let go of all the costumes, we let go of all the masks, we let go of all this sense of, I need to be special. I need to be seen, I need to be heard, I need to stand out. We let go of all the games, and we just be ourselves. And the beautiful thing that happens is when we are truly ourselves, connected with the hugeness of our divinity, we can meet in the most ordinary of ways. Yet there's this flow of absolute divinity. absolute divinity between us. So even though here I was hanging out with my friends and my teacher Ajahn, I felt blessed by his presence, I felt blessed by their presence. Because we were just being ourselves. We're giving ourselves permission to be natural, to be lighthearted, to be spacious, and free with no agenda. None of us were uptight. We were simply giving ourselves permission to be the hugeness of what we are in the most ordinary, practical, down-to-earth way. If anyone would have come into the room, they would have said, "Wow, look at those guys. Look at those longtime friends. So happy to be sharing in each other's presence." And so the more we step into our divinity, we feel this way all the time, whether we are with a great teacher, an old friend, or someone who doesn't like us. Because when we see through the eyes, through the lens of the heart, we see God everywhere. We see beauty everywhere. We see goodness everywhere. Even back to that story I was speaking about when I went out to dinner and I joined the conversation with the table next to me and the lady was quite nasty to me. Because I saw her as God too. I could have compassion for her. I could see her radiance. I could see her divinity. And yes, I could see her struggle and not judge her for being a human being, not judge her for having an ego, not judge her for struggling in life. And so with freedom is the experience of stepping into our spaciousness, our love, our radiance, and giving ourselves permission to be that. But also freedom means giving life permission to be how life is. Giving life permission to be how life is. Whether you're sitting in traffic or walking on the beach, and giving life permission to be how it is. And of course, that doesn't mean you roll over and you be reserved and you don't care about this world. The other part of being free is listening in a very active, proactive way. Listening to the movement of the heart. Where if we want freedom to stabilize in our consciousness, we must follow. The intelligence of our own heart space. We must listen to the Word of God as it arises within our consciousness. We must give ourselves fully to this path. For if we don't, our old egoic habits will drown us, will drag us back to the lowest common denominator. And so, yes, to be free means to surrender to the direct experience of our divinity. To the vastness of our mind, the hugeness of our heart. To the depth and the power of the Hara. And to shine this freedom out to the world. We give the world the freedom to be as it is, and yet to simultaneously listen to the movement and the direction of our own heart space. And to give ourselves permission to fall into alignment with truth. And so I thank you all for joining me this evening. May peace and love and light bless all of us here on planet Earth. May we become fit conduits of God's grace. May we live from our highest nature. May we fall in love with our absolute beauty and shine this beauty out to the world. May peace be with you all, and good night.